I'm so glad to be here at church. How about you? Amen. Man, we're in a great series called The Culture of Honor. We're going to jump right in here talking about culture this morning. So the definition of culture would be this: the behaviors and beliefs or characteristic of a particular social, ethnic, or age group. And we've said a simple definition of that would be this: how we do things around here. All right, so we kicked off this series with week number one with the environment of heaven, and this was our big idea. When we choose to honor people, we bring heaven to earth. So when we choose to come into agreement with what's going on in heaven, which is perfect honor, and then we get into that vein of honoring God, then we can honor others. But we said in week two that it's so important that we learn to honor ourselves. And what does that mean? That means that we believe about ourselves what God says about us. And we have this little booklet. I don't think I brought one today. It's called Who I Am in Christ. And you can get one out at the Connection Center. And it has like 70 scriptures in there that's what the Word says about me. I'm holy. I'm blameless. I'm righteous. I'm pure. All these things that we need to adopt and believe about ourselves. We need to come into agreement. So here's kind of the progression. Honoring God. And we had a great moment last week of saying that when life doesn't do what we want it to do, so many times we blame God. And so we can't honor God if we're offended with God. And so we had a great moment last Sunday of saying this: we're going to release our offenses with God and begin to trust Him again. That was a great moment in both services last week. And then once we can get it right with God, so to speak, and learn to honor Him and trust Him and be in faith about who He is, then we need to honor ourselves and begin to believe who we are. But I'm telling you, if you're offended with God today, you can't believe what God says about you because you don't want to know what God says about you. And all this is behind the scenes. It's behind the curtain, so to speak. We're not aware that these things are going on inside of us. We just kind of take life and it gives us a few hits and knocks and punches and rolls us around a little bit. And we just wind up one day going, I'm not very happy with myself or God or anybody. And so this series gives us the opportunity to put that out on the table and say, I'm going to let God off the hook, so to speak. Because if you're offended with God, you've got Him on the hook like He did something wrong. And we know, logically, that God does no wrong. And so we have to come to grips with that and begin to honor God. And then we begin to believe who we are in Christ and begin to accept that. Then and only then can we truly release honor to other people. Can we truly view other people through the same eyes that God sees them, and then and only then can we really see the atmosphere of heaven come to earth. I'm telling you what, if we want to see God's kingdom come, as Jesus taught us to pray, let your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. If we want to see God's will be done, as Jesus taught us to pray, let your will be done right here on this earth as it is in heaven. If we want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout the earth, guess what? We're going to have to learn the concept and principle of honor. Honor God, honor yourself, and honor one another. And that creates a whole different culture, and it changes how we do things around here. It changes how we view one another, and it gives us the opportunity to literally step into that open heaven that God has promised for all people. Now, this week we're going to talk about honor and control. And you're like, what in the world are you talking about? Well, here's the big idea. Control operates by a spirit of fear. Control operates by a spirit of fear. So we step into control as people when we step out of honor, and here's the catch, and we embrace the spirit of fear. Will you pray with me? Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would come with power this morning, interpret this message, imprint it upon our hearts, and teach us your ways. In these next few minutes, we ask for a powerful revelation of who you are and how this works. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the thing, guys. Control and honor are diametrically opposed. You can't have honor of other people if you're trying to control them. I'm gonna give away the ending already. Okay, here's where we're gonna end. I want you to know this. We're gonna end in 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us a spirit of power, love, and self-control." You have choices. Self-control implies and dictates that then you have a choice. Do you remember all the way back in the garden? God gave Adam and Eve choices. So here's the deal today. If we're going to step into the realm of heaven and see the power of God visit the earth. Do you remember last week the story of Nathanael? When Jesus honored Nathanael, then Nathanael was able to honor Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "You will see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What did he tell him? "You're going to see the supernatural take place in the earth." I'm telling you what, if you're a Christian today and you're not interested in the supernatural, I'm worried about you. If you're in church today and you're not awake, I'm worried about you. So we're going to talk about the story of Saul and David. And if you're going to get the point today, you're going to have to stay with me because there's a lot of working parts in this message. So just stay with me, see how it goes. 1 Samuel 16. Let me give you a little backdrop. Saul was the first king of Israel, God's people, Saul. And Saul had a fear of people. He had the fear of man. And Saul did not want to obey what God said because he was more interested in what the people he could see was saying to him rather than what God was saying to him. And so Saul disobeyed God deliberately because he wanted to gain the favor of the people. And when that happened, God sent the prophet Samuel to him. You can read all about this in 1 and 2 Samuel, okay? And Samuel came and said to him, "God says you're done. I'm taking the kingdom from you because you won't honor me and you won't obey me. And I'm going to give it to your neighbor," is what it says. You can read all this in 1 Samuel 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, all in there. It's a great story. It's really riveting. If you read it like a story and imagine that you're in the middle of it, it's like, oh my gosh, did that really happen? So here we go. "And he sent and brought to him." So Samuel shows up at Jesse's house and says, "Hey, one of your kids I'm supposed to pray over." And so Samuel's the prophet, and they all honored the prophet. So they brought all the kids, and David was the one still out tending the sheep. Went through all the sons. Nope, he's not the one. No, he's not the one. And then David shows up, brought him in. Here's David. Now he was ruddy and beautiful, had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, here, you got to understand, this was a defining moment. And I want you to understand, as we go through this message today, the Spirit being upon David represents the power and presence of God and the ability then to honor. That's the environment of heaven when the Spirit comes upon you. Are you with me? And so honor is in heaven. It's a lot of working parts, but I know we're smart people. Now, let's go to the subject here. People who grow up with controlling parents tend to marry controlling spouses and tend to have controlling bosses. And people proclaim, "Well, when my day comes, I'll never be controlling," only to find out that they are too. Then we hear things like, "Control is an illusion." But what do you do when an illusion is strangling you? Today, we're going to unpack control in a powerful and understand that control is powerful, but it is an illusion. If you understand what makes control work, you can stop it. Control operates by the spirit of fear. So we step into control when we step out of honor and embrace the spirit of fear. See, both honor and control describe a different type of culture. There's a culture of honor. There's a culture of control. There are beliefs and behaviors that determine how people do things. And this is the interesting thing. People are complex. In one relationship, you may feel a lot of honor. In another one, you may react and feel controlled. Or you may control. You may fluctuate from being controlled or being the controller. If you're not aware of what's going on, you will recreate the environment that controls you. You repeat the cycle unless you're educated and understand. This message is so important. We create an environment of control or honor. Under the right circumstances, the right amount of pressure, we can all step into being a controller. Controlling relationships feel like this. Look at this picture. Guess which truck is the controller? Anybody want to vote? Red or yellow? Red or yellow? Which one's the controller? Yellow. Ding, 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 ding. Behind door number one. Okay. Yellow is the controller. Red is the controlee, the person who got controlled. I promise you, just keep that picture up there. I love that picture. Just keep it for a minute. I promise you, big yellow truck didn't mean to smash red truck. Most of the time, controllers have good intentions. Not always, but most of the time. But see, here's the deal. Fear motivates both. The red truck is so afraid of the yellow truck that he paralyzes and stops and lets himself get run over. And the yellow truck is trying so hard to control all the circumstances to keep everything in order that they smash people and leave a wake of dead bodies behind them. When you step into the spirit of control, the people around you feel like the red truck. For all you yellow truck people in the room today, this is the emotional weight of your actions. Now, this is where you might be tempted to check out. If people in your family tend to say, you know, you're a big controller. You're a control freak. Maybe they don't tell you that because they're afraid that you'll smash them. Emotions are real and powerful. This is why control is so powerful. Control uses tools like fear and intimidation. What you feel feels like the truth. Why? Because what you feel is powerful and legitimate. It's just not true. This whole scenario is based on a lie-based thinking. It's based on fears. As people, we make most of our decisions based on how we feel rather than whether something is true or not. Facts and truth come in a lot later after we've made a decision out of a reaction of an emotion. I tell you, stay with me. It's going to get good here in a minute. Red truck people who feel controlled by yellow trucks, I know how you feel, but you're deceived. For the spirit-filled, born-again, adult Christian, the only way you can be controlled is to agree to it. I promise you, red truckers, you want to blame the big, bad yellow truck for everything in your life. Because they're big, and they're influential, and they're loud, and they're controlling. But they can't control you unless you let them. Now, we're getting to the Bible story here in a minute. There's a reason we're reading about David and Saul. We're going to break it down here in just a minute. So here's the bottom line. The yellow truck controller needs a red truck controlee. Control doesn't work unless both parties play ball. I've been both trucks. I've been both, I promise you that. Many who become controlling have great intentions. They're trying to correct something or bring peace or bring order. They just are motivated by fear, and fear never gets the results you're looking for. For control to work, both people must agree with the spirit of fear. That's why control feels so powerful, but it is a lie. Here, let me ask you a question. How true does this feel? People who yell are the most powerful people in the room. Control operates by the spirit of fear. We step into control. We step out of honor. We embrace the spirit of fear. Now let's jump into the story of Saul and David. I'm going to reread part of it and add one verse. And he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, beautiful, and handsome. And the Lord said, anoint him, for this is he. That's David. Then Samuel the prophet took the horn of oil, anointed David in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Verse 14, now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. Interesting fact, when David was anointed king, he was still a teenager, and the kingdom was torn from Saul, but Saul remained king for almost 20 years. Stay with me. The Spirit left Saul, rested on David. David carried the royal anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, and that's how it worked back then. Now we know today, all of us who are believers have the same anointing that David had, that Saul had, that he lost. And the game has changed because of Jesus, but we still can learn a lot from this story. The only way for control to work is for you to step out of your anointing, step outside of what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life, and step outside of honor. The way for control to work in your life is when you step into fear. In today's world, the New Testament reality, all believers have the royal anointing. 1 Peter 2:9 says that. We are all a royal priesthood. Now, let's talk about what Saul did and how he got to the place of stepping out of his anointing. Because God didn't just arbitrarily say, Saul, I'm removing my presence from you. No, Saul made choices based on fear that caused the anointing to be removed from him. It doesn't mean that Saul's burning in hell today. Doesn't mean any of that. It means he stepped outside of God's way of doing life. The anointing left him. Thank God, because of Jesus, the anointing doesn't leave us. The Spirit's always with us as believers. But we still can learn a lot from what happened to Saul and David. Because you can step into fear today. You can step into control today. Or you can leave it behind and step into the culture of honor. So David, oh, here it is. In Saul's fateful moment, oh man, I got lost. Let me start over. Because Saul chose the fear of man more than the fear of God, he wanted people's approval more than God's. What about you? What motivates you more? What people say or what God says? If we're all honest, there's areas of our life where what people say motivates us a lot more than what the Word of God says. This is the same thing that happened to Saul. He wanted people's approval. He began to control and manipulate in order to try to keep his power in the eyes of the people. Did you know Saul even built a monument to himself? Trying to build up his image in the face of the people so they would think how awesome and powerful he was. I mean, he had been anointed king by the prophet of God, the first king of Israel. What did he have to prove? Nothing. But somehow fear worked its way into his heart like a worm works its way into the core of an apple and made it rotten from the inside. When fear starts working on you, you can do some strange things. So, the fateful moment for Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, the defining moment when Saul completely disobeyed God's direct orders. He told him to totally wipe out the Amalekites. And what it was, it's the same thing that he told Joshua when they went to Jericho. Jericho is a tent. It's a tithe city. Give it to the Lord. Same thing with Saul right here. The Amalekites are a tenth. It was a tithe. It was the first. Give it all to God. And so Saul kept some for himself, gave a lot to the people. He thought, I am riding high and looking good and everybody loves me. But I disobeyed God. So the prophet showed up and said, today the kingdom has been taken from you. So then David, you know, in the whole scenario, then David receives the anointing as king after Saul disobeyed God. And David begins to experience great success. Saul becomes excessively jealous and falls into madness. You know, they sang songs about David and Saul. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And all the maidens lined the streets and lauded on the new warrior, David. And Saul is brewing. And you could read it in the passage if you go in 1 Samuel. Saul becomes angry and vowed to kill David from that day forward. He was the one who picked David because David killed Goliath. Do you know why David was able to kill Goliath? Because the anointing of the Holy Spirit was on him and honor was filling his heart. He walked up to the battle that day when they were lined up against Goliath. And you know what David said? He didn't say, I am bad to the bone. No, he said, who is this to defy the armies of God? He had honor in his heart, and he was able to accomplish what the king was supposed to accomplish. And so David then killed Goliath, and Saul made David a hero, gave him one of his daughters to be married to, and everybody falls in love with David, and everybody starts forgetting about Saul. And in that moment, Saul had a choice. Saul had a choice. But he chose to be ruled by fear. So then David gets all the accolades. Saul tries to control David with fear and intimidation. He tried to control him through his son Jonathan, who was David's best friend. He tried to control him with death threats. He tried to control him by throwing spears at him. He tried to intimidate David. Do you know what is amazing? All of Saul's attempt at controlling David never worked. David was never controlled. Why? Because he never got afraid. You know why he never got afraid? Because he trusted in God. And so he was able to honor Saul. This is amazing. Saul literally wanted to kill David. It was known far and wide. David was hiding in the wilderness in caves. And David still honored this madman. I mean, he was tormented by an evil spirit. The Bible says so. He was cray-cray. But David honored him to the very end and was never controlled by all of Saul's fearful tactics. Amazing, isn't it? Look at the screen. The only way for you to be controlled is for you to step down from your royal identity and embrace fear. You have to believe the lie that you're not who God says you are to be controlled. Now just look at that for a minute. The only way for you to be controlled is for you to step down from your royal identity, holy, blameless, son, daughter, seated at the king's table. See, you're royal. The Bible says you are a royal priesthood unto your God. Don't get caught up in the Saul David thing. Just get the big idea. The big idea here. What's the big idea? If you trust in God, you will not fear. And if you don't fear, then you can stay in honor. And if you stay in honor, you'll never be controlled. But if you believe the lie that you're not who God says you are, then you're a prime candidate to be a red truck or a yellow truck. When you truly believe who you are in Christ, you have courage. to overcome fear, to stay in a place of honor. This is why it's so important that you take the who I am in Christ and get on a good path to believing who you are. None of this works unless you believe who you are in Christ. And we have people every day flipping out in fear right here in this church. I said it with a smile. I mean, can we just be honest? You're fearful for your future. You're fearful for your finances. You're fearful about your kids. You're fearful about your relationships. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Here's what all the yellow truck type leaders in the room are thinking. How do we live without control? How about honor? How about honoring people? Well, you don't know the rugrats I work with. That's what people are saying right now. Oh, that works in your environment, Pastor, but not in my workplace. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, no. You don't understand how these people treat me. How do you treat them? Well, I don't know how I treat them. I'm too busy correcting them. I pray that some people get a revelation today. A lot of yellow truckers are so much in fantasy and they've locked off reality because they don't want to deal with the fact that they've hurt so many people with their big, bold, bad, influencing self. I can say this because I can be that guy. How about honor? How about understanding authority? Understanding submission, putting others first, like the Bible says. How about godly order? How about listening instead of telling? How about freedom to choose? How about godly discipline rather than punishment? I think that's the culture of heaven. Honor, not fear. Do you know that the 24 elders and the four living creatures and all the angels and the saints bow down and honor God day and night in heaven, and nobody's making them do that. They're not motivated by fear. They're in awe of the one who is awesome. What if heaven came to earth? What if we were in awe of the one that's awesome, and then that began to influence how we treat each other, begins to influence how we see ourselves, and the world will change for the better. You go, well, I can't think about the world. I'm talking about your world. Where's your circle of influence? Bring heaven to that little slice of the pie. That's your job, dads. That's your job, moms. That's your job, employers. That's your job, employees. That's your job, teachers. That's your job, lawyers, doctors, farmers. Heaven to earth. That's my job. Well, that's too big of a job. All you got to do is let go of fear and learn to honor. And then heaven comes to earth. It's that simple. Some of you go, is it really that simple? Let's talk about how we can live the life that David lived, a life of honor. 2 Timothy 1:7, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Three powerful truths, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're a born-again Christian today, these three things define you, unless you're ruled by fear. These three things define you as a believer. You have power. You have power. Now, red trucks out there, control is an illusion. Don't be afraid of conflict. Speak up. Speak up. Lean into it. You'll be all right. Yellow trucks out there, you don't have to prove how powerful you are. Could you put the picture back up there for a second? I don't think it takes a rocket science to figure out which one has more horsepower. Which one's heavier? Which one's more powerful? That's easy. If you're a yellow truck, God gave you a big, bad leadership gift. It's awesome. You don't have to prove it. Everybody knows you're bad to the bone. When you walk in, they know it. Because it's who you are. It's the gift God gave you. You don't have to prove it. You have power. You don't have to prove it. Fear says, I got to prove to these people. Because they're all going to take advantage of me. If I turn my back, by golly, they're going to take advantage of me. So what if they do? Bless them. You're going, Pastor, you lost your mind now? You're just talking about church and stuff. I run a real business. I'm still talking to you. Well, I'll lose money if I act that way. What if you think God has had a lack of resources? What if you decide to change the culture of your business to be the culture of honor? Well, we might go out of business. Maybe you didn't need to be in that business in the first place. Get one that can honor God. Just saying. Number two, you have love. Three powerful truths because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Have love. 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. The Bible is true. You've not been given the spirit of fear because the Holy Spirit in you gives you power and love. Red trucks, lean into love. When I feel fear, it's a sign to lean into God's love. What does that mean? I'm afraid I'm going to lean on my big father, big daddy, big God. I'm leaning into you. I am afraid today. I'm going to lean into you because I know you love me. And that love's going to press out the fear. Yellow trucks, you have love. You're safe in the Father's love. When you feel out of control, you can trust that God is in control. That's what fear gets on the yellow truck, people. I'm out of control. I don't know how to manage all of this. You're not supposed to manage all this. You just do your part. Do your best. Let God do the rest. That's a cliche, I know. But it's true. Most cliches are cliches because they're true. Because they get repeated a lot. Do your best. Let God take care of the rest. There is nothing in your life that you can control. That should set you free, but that freaks you out. If you're a controller, girl, I'm going to a different church next week. Because I can't control what that preacher's saying up there. Hey, man, I know about control. I know what I'm talking about. You can trust God. Now, here's the only thing you can control, yourself. And you can't even control yourself unless you have the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can, because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Not the fruit of humanity. Look at the world. The fruit of humanity is chaos. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Three powerful truths because the Spirit lives in you. Power, love, and self-control. Self-control means you can make healthy, God-honoring choices when you submit to the Spirit. It don't matter if you're a red truck, yellow truck, blue truck, white truck. You can make great choices. Are you with me? We're ending up right here. Let's look at the picture one more time. As you look at that picture, listen to what I'm saying. Be established in love. Be established in the power of God, the love of God, the self-control of the Spirit of God. Be established in the love of the Father today, and let's make a great exchange. Let's exchange fear and control for love and honor. Let's exchange fear for love. Control for honor. Will you stand with me? The spirit of fear and the spirit of control are sabotaging your relationships. You can take the picture down. spirit of fear and the spirit of control are sabotaging all your relationships. What if we made a great exchange today? I'm letting go of fear. I'm letting go of control. I don't know what that's going to mean tomorrow. Well, you really didn't know what it was going to mean tomorrow anyway. You just thought you did. I have no idea what's going to happen this afternoon. I have plans. I have thoughts. I ain't in control. Do you know, as a pastor, the most liberating message I ever heard was control is an illusion. You cannot control the church. Because you start carrying these burdens when somebody who you've sown the word into, sown your life into, decides to live like hell. What can I do about that? Just like when somebody you've sown into decides to live like heaven. Wasn't my fault that time either. It's because they made some great choices, because they got in touch with a real God. We can let go of fear today. We can let go of control today, and we can embrace love. We can embrace the Father. We can embrace a culture of honor. Will you pray with me? As I pray, I'm going to invite our prayer team to go ahead and assemble. Lord, you know our hearts today. We want to establish a culture of honor because we want heaven to come to earth. You know, God, not after anybody today. Pray that no one feels condemned or chastised, but just that there's inspiration, that there could be a new way. Oh, but you don't know. I've lived this way for 39 years. It's the only way I know how to get things done. God, let people see there's a better way today. I'm a red truck person. I'm so afraid that if I speak up, I'll lose my job. If I speak up, I'll lose my marriage. If I speak up, I'll lose my kids. If I speak up, I'll lose. But you'll gain self-respect and dignity, and you'll step into the kingdom power. Honor doesn't say pick a fight. Honor says tell the truth. Honor doesn't say try to create more conflict. Honor says try to resolve the conflict. Honor says, bring on the love of God that transforms broken people. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your love would so fill our hearts today, no matter who we are or how we operate, that we could be immersed in, filled with, and overflowing in the transforming love of Jesus. So I just invite you to come today as Josh plays the song and we finish the service. I just invite you to contemplate, which truck are you? And would you like to let go of fear? Would you like to let go of control? God wants to set us free.
Oh, praise the Lord.